The Maritime Administration might be a relatively unknown piece of the Transportation Department, but it has a lot to do with the country's shipping prowess and even national security. The National Academy of Public Administration has just completed a review of MARAD and has several recommendations for improving management, including of the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. Joining me with more, retired Navy Vice Admiral and Chairman of NAPA's Maritime Administration Review Panel, Lou Crenshaw. Admiral Crenshaw, good to have you on.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Tell us briefly what MARAD does, because it's certainly not a household word among federal agencies.
You're correct about that. There is not something that comes up every day at the breakfast table. But if you're in the Navy and you're in the maritime industry, it does come up a lot. It's a very key part of our merchant marine fleet. It does about three things that probably would be, in summary, would be best to know. Number one is they are responsible for the maintenance of the U.S. flagged merchant marine fleet, the manning of the fleet, and the rules and regulations that govern that. The second thing is probably less known is that they're in charge of providing the transportation for the movement of virtually all of the United States military forces and equipment when they move overseas. Almost 90% of Army and Air Force go by sea whenever they deploy, and so they provide a vital link to the Department of Defense in providing those resources. And then there is a cats and dogs sort of mission that they have, the variety of safety and environmental and grants programs that they maintain.
Plus, they also operate the Maritime Academy.
They do indeed operate Kings Point, the United States Merchant Marine Academy, which is a federally funded organization that contributes there's about 700 people there at any given time.
Now, this review by NAPA, was this commissioned by the current Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao, or does it predate that?
Well, it actually came from the acting administrator at the time. He was there, and there were several storms coming together, budgets trying to explain the mission as they were putting together the budgets. There were some questions about, do we really need a maritime administration? What, you know, why couldn't that just be done by the Navy? And so they asked us to take an independent look at how they're organized and the functions they perform, and interview some of their customers and see how they were doing, basically.
Well, let's start with the Academy, the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. I guess that had some well-known management problems, which they were beginning to fix. And so what did the panel recommend there?
Well, we took a look at Merchant Marine Academy, obviously a very key part of the education of mariners. And by the way, there are some six other state-supported maritime academies besides the Federal Merchant Marine Academy, and all feed in. And so there had been some issues of a couple of years back. They had to cancel their at-sea program because there were some allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct. And so the Academy stepped back to take a look at things. We basically recommended that the Department of Transportation take a look at exactly how it's organized, pay particular attention to the leadership that they have, the commandant, the dean, the administrative dean, those sorts of people, to make sure that they have exactly the right people with the right skills. It's a little unclear who's actually responsible for the Maritime Academy. Is it strictly the Maritime Administration, or does the Department of Transportation play a role in it? To what extent do, for instance, Department of Defense become involved? And so we thought it would be a good idea just to take a look at the entire organization, the chain of command, and how that's organized.
I guess that's kind of a basic question, because among your recommendations for the entire MARAD was to craft and communicate a mission statement to bring clarity to what they're supposed to be doing. Sounds like a theme there.
You know, it's interesting. When we started looking at all the documentation of what the mission of MARAD is, it became apparent to the panel that there's not unanimity in what they declare the mission. Part of this comes from the fact that their authority to operate stems from dozens of federal statutes and regulations, and each one of them over the years has changed the character what the mission might be. And so we thought it was a good time to sit back and sort of take stock of where are you, what are your real missions, and where are you adding value, and where are you doing some things that perhaps you don't need to be doing.
We're speaking with Lou Crenshaw, retired Navy Vice Admiral and Chairman of NAPA's Maritime Administration Review Panel. And looking at some of the groups of recommendations, it also looks like besides mission clarity, they've got to do a lot of business process reengineering to make things more efficient. Is it? Did you find it to be kind of a mixed-up organization in that sense?
Yeah, it's, you know, over the years, as missions have been added, they've tacked on little bits here, an office that's got six people here, one that has two or three there overseeing various programs. And so I think, you know, it's a natural progression of things that they sit back and reassess where they are. Many of these smaller offices, although they perform one-off functions in Marriott, are performed by many other agencies. A classic example would be environmental oversight. They have a small role in the environmental oversight of our merchant marine fleet. But, you know, the EPA and the U.S. Coast Guard, all of those also have that role. And there's no reason why we should have three or four different organizations doing the same thing.
And another theme running through the recommendations, I guess there's 27 of them and all kind of grouped by theme, but something that seems to run through all of them is a need for more transparency and more, I guess, broadcasting and communication of what the decisions it makes are and why it made them.
Yeah, I think, you know, in an organization which is little understood, the more transparent you can be, I think the more credible you become. A classic example of this was, how many mariners do we need to man our merchant marine fleet to support a surge of military forces overseas in the event of an emergency? Most of the people that we talked to outside of the Maritime Administration were completely confused about how do they come up with that number? Who helps them generate that number? Does the military approve of this number? Has the Department of Transportation seen this number? And so I think in order to have some credibility, particularly on the Hill when funding comes in, you have to be transparent with your process.
And by the way, since you mentioned that they do have responsibility for getting materiel overseas should the need arise for the American military, how do they do that? Do they have their own ships? Do they commandeer other ships? Or how does that happen?
Well, it's a complicated. There are about 90 ships in the U.S. flagged merchant marine fleet. And interestingly enough, in a variety of statutes, all of the military equipment that is transported overseas is required to be transported on those American flagged vessels. The Maritime Administration maintains several programs to make sure those vessels are available. One of them is the Maritime Security Program, in which the government pays the commercial shippers that have the U.S. flagged vessels an offset to offset the difference in the cost of international shipping versus U.S. flag shipping. And international shipping is significantly cheaper. And so in order to provide an incentive to keep these ships under American flag, they're provided a stipend. 60 of these ships have that. There are also a group of 20 or so ships that are kept in ready reserve status so that we can call them up basically on 5 or 10 days' notice, depending on the type of ship, and have them ready to begin to have shipments, and they have a skeleton crew aboard, which they then augment with merchant mariners.
Yeah, because if you took those 90 ships, and 60 of which or so are ready at any given moment, plus whatever naval capacity there is for transport, there's nothing much else in the country, I would think, that can do this kind of sea transport. You can't use the Long Island ferry.
You're correct. And part of the thing is, you know, we don't want to just disrupt the entire commercial shipping industry in the United States by saying, okay, we need to have enough people that we can continue to maintain a viable shipping industry as well as meet the national security needs. One of the interesting things that I think a lot of people don't realize is that the Navy's Military Sealift Command, which provides the logistics support for all the Navy ships, is also manned by merchant mariners in the merchant marine fleet. So there are very few active duty sailors on those ships. It's all maintained and managed by Military Sealift Command, which works closely with the Maritime Administration to make sure that the licensed mariners are available to be on those ships.
What happens next with this report? It's pretty detailed.
Well, we've briefed the leadership at the Maritime Administration, and I think it's up to them for what happens next. I think looking at the recommendations we made, I think they will rack and stack those, and you know, look at the ones that they think have the highest priority and get to work on them right away. And some of the things that we talked about in our report were divesting of some of those smaller functions that might not have as much impact. I think they need to start looking at that. You know, we'll sit back and we're ready to help any way we can when they give us a call. But, the ball's in their court now.
Lou Crenshaw is a retired Navy Vice Admiral and chairman of the NAPA's Maritime Administration Review Panel. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
We'll post a link to that study and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.